We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report for December 18, 2009. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. And later this half hour, we'll have cash grain analysis with Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, a group of Republican senators are vowing to block greenhouse gas legislation. We'll have this and other stories this half hour. And Todd Gleason will look back at the conception of integrated pest management as it turns 50. It's all on the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from the Westchester Group, specializing in land auctions for farmland, timberland, and recreational land. More information on upcoming auctions is available online at westchester-auctions.com.
Friday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City March wheat. 524 and a quarter, up 9 and a quarter. May, 536, up 9. July, 547 and a half, up 8 and three quarters. March wheat from CME Group, 528, up 9 and a half. May, 541 and a quarter, up 9 and a quarter. July, 552 and a half, up 9 and a quarter. March corn, 397 and three quarters, up three quarters. May, 408 and a half, up three quarters. July, 417 and a half, up three quarters. September, 424, up 1 and a quarter. December, 430 and a quarter, up a half. January beans, 10.12, down 10, March, 10.20, down 10, May, 10.26 and a quarter, down 10 and a quarter, July, 10.31 and a half, down 10 and a quarter, August, 10.28, down 9 and a quarter, January soybean meal, $3.05.40, down $2, March, $300.20, down $2.60, January soybean oil, $38.33, down 31, March, $38.74, down 31, December live cattle, $82.05, up 62 and a half. February, 84.85, up 30. January feeders, 94.72 and a half, up 75. March, 94.75, up 57 and a half. February lean hogs, 65.12 and a half, down 42 and a half. And April, 69.15, down 60 on the day. And those are today's settlements in Kansas City and Chicago.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
Taking a look at AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser's forecast, he says tomorrow in northern and western Illinois, cloudy with some snow showers and flurries, mostly during the morning, elsewhere cloudy with some light snow. Highs ranging from 28 in far northwestern Illinois to 38 in the far south. The extended highlights, light snow tonight into tomorrow will mostly leave accumulations of around an inch or less, but some local 2 to 3 inch amounts are possible across portions of northern and west central Illinois and in eastern Indiana. A few scattered light snow showers will be possible late Sunday into Sunday night, but little, if any, accumulation is expected. Quiet weather is expected early next week. A significant weather system will likely bring precipitation to Illinois and Indiana on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report and on WILLAG.org. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Let's start with the cattle on feed report. Get that out of the way first. On feed 1 December, 99%. Marketed in November, 92%. Placed in November, 104%. What does the trade come back on Monday with this?
Well, you know, cattle were not trading very much this week, Dave. 82 to 82.50 seemed to be quite a bit of resistance, and I think the report's going to reflect that the seller can hold out here for a little bit better price. I would suspect that $85 might be actively traded. That'd be $3 to $5 higher. The marketings do a lot for the post-holiday beef demand perceptions. A lot of traders in Chicago have been worried about the beef demand as this holiday approaches because hams have been such a featured commodity at the retail side. So I think this helps the beef demand perceptions on the marketings. On feed kind of confirms the trend that we're going to continue to see a tighter market-ready cattle supply in 2010. So I think it's a good report. The winter storm next week is going to make things really excitable, too, I suspect.
Also, okay, well, let's go on to the grain side, and we have fundamental numbers to get out of the way there as well, and that is the Informa numbers. They came out today with corn production of 12.97 billion bushels, soybean at 3.42 billion, and then they also had a preview of next spring's acreages. They say wheat, 55.6 million acres, winter, 39.4 corn acres, 89.5, and beans, 76.993. I don't know why I got an extra digit there, but I do, all million acres. As I look at those numbers, it seems like kind of a mismatch wash.
Yeah, it really does to me, too. I mean, I think the 09 bushels, the 3.42 billion on the soybean, probably had the most impact on the soybean complex today, because it saw the spreads real weak. The bull spreads really gave up, and it seemed like that was probably why you would be able to connect the dot there as far as why that happened. On the acreage, though, I think the biggest thing that struck me was how hard a low the March wheat put in at that 515 level and how hard a low the July Chicago wheat put in a low at that 540 level, and it seemed like that came right after those acreage numbers were put out. So that sub 40 million winter wheat acreage number may have put in a 30 or 60 day low here in the wheat, especially if we can finally get some demand on the export front. But I really like the way the wheat traded after the wheat number came out by Informa.
And the wheat corn spread around what, a $1.30, something like that?
Yeah, we're going to close out the week at about $1.30. It's oversold enough that it should be favorable to the wheat, and so that's something we'll have to watch when we come back here. I sure hope so. It's like we talked about this morning. It would be very unfortunate to see the wheat lose even more to the corn and become a feed grain and hit that feed grain status button again. That would not do any favors for the corn at all. I think, you know, I talked to Chicago after the corn acreage number came out, and I had seen numbers anywhere from 5 to 6% higher for 2010 corn acreage. And I think the Chicago people were kind of in a similar mindset that 3.5% more really isn't a big number, and it's probably right in the middle of where everybody's at. So it seemed like Informa took a pretty safe route in terms of the 2010 corn acreage number.
So wheat helped the corn, didn't do anything for the beans. In fact, beans lost more today after losing quite a bit yesterday. And now we are what I think is down to the final line in the sand for the bulls, and that's that 50-day moving average.
Yeah, you've got in January the 50-day at 10.06 on the composite chart. You've got the 11.17 low on the January at 10.09. That 50-day, we've not closed below since October 8th, so that's going to be a very, as you say, very important line in the sand here, especially as we head into the delivery time period on the 29th and 30th. I think, Dave, if anything got negatively impacted the most from the currency trade, it was the beans, because the Brazilian real really fell hard, has really fallen hard to the U.S. dollar here the last two and a half weeks, and I think that's really starting to show up in our bean prices, you know, internationally. Even though China continues to buy and buy good quantities, I think that's probably wearing on some of the trade psychology at this point. So we would want to see the dollar top out here at this 78.50 level, especially compared to the real.
doesn't look like the dollar is running out of steam. At least it didn't look like it is today.
It's trying to give some sell signals as we go into the late day trade, and we're also seeing the gold trying to give some buy signals. I think going into next week, the three major charts, and really into 2010 and the first week of post-holiday trade, I think the three major charts we're going to have to watch is the crude oil with that 200-day moving average, the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index, which hit a major trend line on its weekly chart. That'd be a trend line that's been in place for the last 6 months. And then the S&P 500, that 1085 to 1090 level in the cash S&P is an extremely important level, too. That there, again, there's a nice trend line that goes back to the March lows drawn off of that. So we've got some really heavy-duty lines that have been tested here. We may be at an interim low here, and it may bring the index funds back in, because if the dollar does stop going up, they may have the courage to come in and reposition and rebalance their portfolios like everybody's been expecting. After all, they would be able to do it on much cheaper prices. So that's where these lines, I think, are very, very important.
About 30 seconds left. What else would you like to add?
Well, I think the key will be this Western Corn Belt storm next week. I still show between the five major western states that still have a decent number of acreage still to harvest in corn, we're dealing with about 3.2 million planted, which would be probably around 2.8 million harvested, not out of the field yet as of this past Monday's numbers. So if we get a 12 to 14-inch snowstorm again in that area, I think we'll have an issue where the cash corn market should be able to find some support as well.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He is in Lafayette, Indiana.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, U.S. congressional Republican leadership say they will attempt to block efforts by the Obama administration to regulate greenhouse gases and fund international climate change. The lawmakers say they plan to pass a disapproval resolution that would prevent the EPA from regulating gases such as carbon dioxide and will stop appropriations on any federal funding for administrative efforts to finance international climate agreements. The group of senators, with support from House Republicans, say they already have enough votes to bring the resolution up for a vote on the Senate floor, and predicted Democrats will join the effort. A member of the Senate Agriculture Committee yesterday said that lawmakers should review how USDA is implementing the Biomass Crop Assistance Program, which has spiraled in costs this year, even though the full program has not been put into place. Senator Tom Harkin, who chaired the Senate Agriculture Committee during the writing of the 2008 Farm Bill, said he was well aware of the issues with BCAP from the Farm Bill and questioned whether it was being implemented the way that Congress intended. The Obama administration may cut $4 billion over 5 years from USDA's crop insurance subsidies and propose at least a $1 billion increase for USDA's child nutrition programs in its fiscal year 2011 budget. The administration has been silent on whether it will formally link a cut in crop insurance to an increase in child nutrition programs. The crop insurance cuts would make it easier for the White House Office of Management and Budget to find money for child nutrition, because it could claim in the president's fiscal year 2011 budget that it was spending less than expected on crop insurance and can use that budget authority without showing much of an increase in the deficit. The president of the Canada Beef Export Federation says that the U.S.'s country of origin labeling law is costing the industry as much as $70 per head and is illegal. Ted Haney says, quote, "It has been incredibly damaging to our industry and to the Canadian pork industry. This is simply protectionism." Under Cool, Canadian cattle are required to be tracked through their whole lives through the U.S. U.S. Vice President Joe Biden has announced the first $182 million in federal stimulus money for 18 projects to expand high-speed internet networks in rural areas and other underserved communities. Biden spoke yesterday at a technologically advanced manufacturing plant in North Georgia. The projects are the first part of a $7.2 billion plan to bring high-speed internet connections to rural areas, poor neighborhoods, and Native American communities. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Years ago, a landmark paper, the Integrated Control Concept, was published by the California Agricultural Experiment Station. The authors were entomologists at the U of C Riverside and Berkeley campuses. As Todd Gleason reports, it laid out the consequences of over-reliance on a single form of pest control and the foundation for what we know today as IPM. Or integrated pest management.
After World War II, the widespread introduction of chlorinated hydrocarbon insecticides, things like DDT, were hailed for insect control. The initial results were so spectacular, some entomologists speculated key insect pests could be eradicated completely. Yet the promise of these miraculous products was short-lived, and it came with unwanted consequences, says University of Illinois Extension entomologist Mike Gray.
And some of these unwanted consequences were, you know, higher levels of pesticide residue showing up on fruits and vegetables than were healthy, concentration of some of these insecticides in the food chain. There were concerns about exposure of farm workers to these chlorinated hydrocarbons. So these entomologists came together and crafted this landmark paper, basically the integrated control concept.
So in recognition that these problems were significant and likely to worsen due to increasingly irrational approaches to insect control, the University of California entomologists began to describe concepts that Mike Gray says are just as important and relevant today for row crop production as they were 50 years ago.
Things like the economic threshold, economic injury level, the idea that we need to integrate many different tactics as we manage pests, whether they be weeds, insects, or diseases. And the importance of integration primarily because you know, there are important environmental benefits, important human health and safety benefits, as well as you know, the idea that if we integrate tactics, we can delay or prevent the onset of resistance to these products.
And therein lies the rub, some 50 years after IPM was introduced. Most cornfields across the nation are planted with seeds that have been treated with an insecticide, a seed treatment known as a neonicotinoid. It's a disturbing trend, and one entomologist at the University of Illinois have warned could come with unwanted consequences.
Well, as we look at IPM, integrated pest management in the commercial corn and soybean production system of the U.S., we see, in my opinion, some disturbing trends. For instance, we know that BT seed is treated with neonicotinoid insecticides, and so we are every year exposing many below-ground insect pests to neonicotinoid insecticides, and one has to simply wonder how long will it be before resistance begins to build up in some of these secondary insect populations.
Resistant insects like wireworms and white grubs. This warning is not to take away from the remarkable success story of BT seed corn. It's corn modified to resist specified insect pests. Rather, it is targeted at overuse of that technology and, more importantly, of the insecticidal seed treatments that come along with it. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with a look at the cash grain market is Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
You're not in your usual stomping grounds today.
I'm in Bloomington today.
Attending some meetings?
Attending some meetings. Midwest Grain LLC is a merchandising company that we are part owner of and does the merchandising for the grain that Ludlow Co-op and Evergreen FS and Assumption Co-op handles.
Any tidbits that you can tell us out of those meetings that might be of interest to producers?
We have no clue any more than anybody else does right now. We are just trying to survive and get through this tail end of harvest, find a place for all the corn.
You know, my son, well, we're going to Florida tomorrow, but if we weren't, my son would be looking for a place to go sledding, and there was supposed to be some snow falling maybe next week, so we were thinking we would just go out to one of your places and get on top of the pile and go on down.
I just assume you not do that. There, it has been done before, though.
Yeah. But the point being, there's a lot of corn on the ground.
There's a lot of corn on the ground. We are finishing up our last pile. We probably have about 3 million bushels on the ground.
And how's the last of the corn coming in? I mean, both in terms of speed as well as quality.
Well, we're getting down to the tail end. I think we're getting some out of the field, and five of our elevators is all today. Moisture is just the same as what it's been for the last month. It's running right about 20% moisture. Test weight, 54.5, 55, so continues to be light on test weight. Quality-wise, I'm not seeing any more damage or mold than what we have seen. The quality seems to be pretty good as far as that goes right now in the later part of the crop. Compared to some samples I've seen from north of I-80, we're just really blessed. I mean, there we've seen test weight 46, 48 pounds from some of those guys. They're having moisture, you know, a lot higher than what we are, and 20% damage out of the field. So it could be a lot worse.
You'd like to move some of that grain down to the Gulf, I would imagine, and trains are rolling, but golly, demand is not really all that stout.
Yeah, the railroad is performing this year. Once we get a train loaded and get billing on it, they're moving pretty fast. The problem is there's just not a lot of depth of demand at the Gulf. I mean, every week we see disappointing shipment numbers and barges are backed up. So it's just a lack of depth of demand on getting this moved right now. And that kind of scares you when you have a cheap dollar and gut slot harvest and not seeing the shipments. That gets to be a little scary.
Seasonally, corn basis begins to snug up a little bit around this time of year, but it's still a little bit on the wide side. Are you thinking we're just a week or two behind and maybe we'll get some snuggage?
Yeah, I think we're running late, but we're starting to see maybe some of the first people raising their head and taking a look at it, so I'm seeing some indications that we could see some basis popping back.
Anything else before we let you go?
No, it doesn't appear to be raining or snowing here yet, so I hope we miss that for a while. So.
All right, then. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
That's Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op, and that is out of Ludlow, Illinois. It's National Roast Suckling Pig Day. A suckling pig is a young pig that has only been fed on its mother's milk. Traditionally, the dish is roasted, and the skin is valued for pork rinds. On this day in agricultural history in 1787, New Jersey became the third state to enter the United States. New Jersey's many truck farms, orchards, and flower gardens give the state its nickname, the Garden State. In 1865, slavery was abolished in the United States. The 13th Amendment proclaimed neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, save as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist in the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. At the time of its ratification, slavery remained legal only in Delaware, Kentucky, and Missouri. By the way, Illinois was the first state of the Union to ratify the amendment, passing it on February 1st of 1865. Also in 1865, the first U.S. cattle importation law was passed, and in 1991, the International Project to Save the Brazilian Rainforest was launched. The controversial initiative attempted to stem new logging and ranching in the Amazon. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is meteorologist Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, I guess over the next couple of days, we're going to see something white and fluffy that we haven't seen in a while.
Yeah, we could, especially over this weekend. But I'm not expecting a lot out of that. It looks like a pretty weak system. Actually, there's a nice arc of precip, basically, along the Mississippi River from near St. Louis up toward Quincy and across northern Illinois. There's some light snow being reported up north and far west, some light rain south. But amounts from over the weekend are not going to be that much. I think the going forecast, which I tend to agree with, is an inch or less in most areas, maybe a little bit more northwest where they're going to actually have snow into this evening and tonight. But here in east central and central Illinois, it won't be a whole lot. But it should be enough to whiten the ground and at least give a holiday feel to the look of the landscape.
Well, if it is not the snow, it should be the temperatures that'll give you a holiday feel, I would think.
Yeah, today's really pretty nice out. It's sun shining here, and it's about 40, 41 degrees, and not much wind. So it's actually pretty comfortable out, but temperatures will be coming down. December's going to end up being a below normal month by a good shot here across Illinois, even with these occasional warm days. They're not long periods. Extended periods of warm weather, and with these little clipper systems coming through this weekend, there will be colder weather following that. And we might get a little brief warm up next week for a day or so ahead of a system that could affect us around Christmas and Christmas Eve.
Yeah, Ed was saying that maybe late next week. Look out, there could be some serious snow going on.
Yeah, this has been on the charts now for 3 to 4 days now. But last night, the forecast took a huge change as far as the track of this potential low. Now the latest runs on some models are going back to what it had. The official forecast has not been trying not to jump around too much. But the bottom line is, this is something that if you have travel plans Christmas Eve and over the holidays to keep an eye on, because it's really hard to say now what's going to happen, but somebody in the central part of the U.S. is going to get some snow, and there will likely be some travel problems throughout parts of the Midwest, probably on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
What about the western Corn Belt?
Not too bad. They may get brushed by the system as it comes through, but high pressure will be building in. Cold weather is really going to be the rule for most of the country. Even if this low doesn't quite develop as forecast, once it moves off, we'll finish out the month on the cold side. So the western Corn Belt, generally not much in the way of precip, but a lot of cold weather.
Thank you very much, Steve.
All right, Dave.
Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Remember, you can listen to today's future analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather reports on the World Wide Web. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the audio analysis tab, or on the website on the right-hand side, you can sign up for our podcasts. This is Dave Dickey.